It occurred to me while we were singing that song that there is a when we said, "So let it be," there was actual an agreement. We're asking God, first of all, let it be. Please make this happen. You have the keys. You have the ability. You have the desire. Let it be, God. Let it be here. And then comes the agreement on our part. To agree with Him. And He drew up the contract. He drew it up. He said, here's the way it happens. When you follow My ways. When you go about this contract. Now, I'm going to sign first. I'm going to sign mine in blood. And I expect, if you agree to this contract, you're going to have to sign with your life. That's your part. Now, the benefits of that are tremendous. And no one else can give these type of benefits. And their benefits, heaven, the ability to live on this earth as it is in heaven. Seriously? Wow. To be able to walk in revelation, to be able to walk in power, to be able to move and have your being in Him and in His Spirit. To be able to live above the circumstances. I'm not saying that you're not going to have circumstances that are negative. I'm saying that you can overcome. I'm saying that you have the ability and the power to be more than a conqueror. That you can be victorious. That's the life. That's the life. So let it be. There are times that God brings up His contract to me. And He says, "Arthur, you're not living by the contract that we signed." "Okay. Where?" And He says, "Well, right here." Now, He said, "Well, where does it say in the Word contract?" "It doesn't." He says, "It's covenant. I've drawn up a covenant with you, a locking in together." And He says, "In this covenant, it is real. And when I died on the cross, sealed that covenant, the blood, and the resurrection of His power, it enforced it. And therefore, you chose it." "Yes, I did. Now live in it." There's a different standard for us, a whole different standard for us. Given the gospel to people. They say, "I'm not ready." I said, "Well, I don't know what you have to do to get ready." I said, "Well, I need to clean up my life." Let God do that. God will do it. God will definitely do it. Just choose Him. It's a relationship. Choose Him. Well, in my however many years I've been a Christian, He's been so faithful to me to uphold His part. To show me and to continue to be with me. And to give me the power and the grace to say, you can go from here to here, to here, to here. And even though you may slide back, I'm not giving up on you. You can go back to here, into here. As long as I draw breath, He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Such a healer. Such a healer. I can get rid of all that stuff that's holding you back. Those obstacles. I can take them away from you and say, I have something for you that's so much better. We've been talking about the armor of God. And one of the biggest obstacles to the armor of God is getting rid of the armor that you've already put on before you ever got to the armor of God. You took that other armor, that armor, that you defensive system that you put up and going, I'll never have anybody close to me. I'll never do anything that I'll get hurt by. And He says, take off that old armor. Take off that stuff that keeps hindering you. It hinders you from the truth of God. Take it off. I'm about to give you the armor that you can truly be and find the destination that God wants for you. Truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace. All of this, the true armor of God. Last week I talked about the mind. The mind, I think one of the most significant things that the Lord revealed to me was that the helmet of salvation is a protection. We need to have a saved mind. We have to have a saved way of thinking. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you renew your mind. It has to happen, has to work if we're ever going to transition from an unsaved life to a new life. From the opinions of why you are who you are to the truth of who God says you are. And it's a battle. And I showed you a couple of books. But here's one of the better books. And it's called The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Myers. And I went out and bought 6 of them. And so if you don't have it, if you'd like to have it, I'll give it to you. So they're up here on the front pew. So if you want it, you can have it. And if they're not enough, find someone who came and picked it up and say, can I read that after you get done? Okay? So sharing. That's what I learned today at church. Sharing. Okay. What'd you learn at school? Sharing. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 16. Now, the reason I'm starting with verse 16, because There's three words in there that begin this sentence. And it says, in all circumstances. Okay? In all circumstances. Okay? That's the beginning of the sentence. In all circumstances. And then you go down to, and we talked about, take up the shield of faith, take the helmet of salvation, and now we're to the sword of the Spirit. One of the first things that I want to give to you, and and to me, it was like, wow, I've never read it this way. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when I think about the sword of the Spirit, I think about an actual sword. And, I mean, isn't that the word picture that he wants to paint here? We used to have a couple of swords that were hanging up here, and they were huge. They were about 5 foot tall. And they said, and they had these scriptures underneath them, but they were huge swords, you know. They were Excalibur-type swords. And when I thought about these swords, I don't think about somebody else. Well, I think about me. And when I think about me wielding a sword, I'm like Conan the Barbarian, man. I'm like ninja. I'm like good, you know. I'm good with this sword, right? I mean, don't y'all have that fantasy too? I know you do. Don't be lying. You think, you know, until I really looked at this scripture, it's not my sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's His sword. It's the Holy Spirit's sword. The Holy Spirit is an entity. The Holy Spirit is someone who makes decisions. The Holy Spirit is someone who refers to God for what He should or should not do, what He should say or what He should not say. The Holy Spirit is an entity. And so therefore, it is not my sword. Is that not revelation to you guys? Is it just me? I mean, really, it's not my sword. So I can't just use it however I want to. Because there have been countless and countless of people have not used that word of God as a sword, but have been using it as a battering ram. And they've used it against their wives, against their children, and against other people. I've told you story after story about people who have said, you're not going to heaven because you don't sing the right songs. And you sing the songs because you have, you're not going to heaven because you sing songs with a piano in it. Because you don't baptize people in our water. And I'll show you the scripture for it. Let me tell you. The minute you may use the same words that are on this page, but it is not the sword of the Spirit, it becomes the word of Arthur Rodriguez. It becomes my opinion. It becomes my evidence to prove what I want it to prove. I'm not checking in with my spirit. I'm not checking in with what God wants to say. I'm checking in with what I want to say and what I want to prove and what I want you to do. I want to manipulate you by this word. Now, if it were up to me, not God, in the judgment, I'm going, there's kind of a special place in hell for people like that. But I don't think God's happy about it. Just saying. I really don't. To manipulate the word for your own personal benefit is an abomination to God. It never becomes. The sword of the Spirit is the Spirit's. And so, how do I use them? You've kind of paralyzed me. Now, how do I use that word of God? Well, it kind of goes on to say, pray in the Spirit at all times. You got to have constant connection with God. You got to be ready in season and out of season to be able to do that. When, let's start out with the beginning of the sentence. In all circumstances. In every circumstance. Do you ever get caught off? Do you ever get caught by surprise? Some people come in my office. I get caught by surprise. What should I do? And I'm quick. God, what should I do? I don't know. Lady came into my office the other day. She had friends. Not the good kind. And while I was talking to her, I was going, wow. I'm going to help you quickly, and then I want you to go. That's what I was thinking. And so it was evident to everybody. It didn't take a lot of discernment. And so after this person left, my tellers came in. Why didn't you pray? I pray for lots of people at my office. Why didn't you pray for her? I said, no. I said, I've been in times when I have prayed for that type. And I have had manifestations of demonic presence. This is not the place for that at all. Now, if we're somewhere else and I have help, maybe. But we're not going to do it here. Now, I'm telling you, that's discernment. Reality is, be one who knows how to utilize the word, the sword of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, the Word of God understand when Jesus came. Let's start with verse 12. Now, if Christ proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified not to did not raise if it is the man, I can't read. And when he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If it is Christ we have hope in this life, we are all people most to be pitied. But down in verse 28, when all things are subject to him, then the Son himself will be subjected to him who put all things in subjected under him, that he will be all in all. He is in us all. We have that competence. We have that ability. He is in us. In us to do what? He is a quickening spirit in verse 45. It says, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. No, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. In King James, it says a quickening spirit. He quickens life in us. In that quickening spirit, it is the power of God to do that. There have been people, I make mistakes. It's just the reality of sometimes not discerning correctly. There have been times that I've said, you know what, I really need to pray for you. And when I feel like I need to pray for someone, I do it. I thought, you know, Jonathan, you know, in the name of Jesus, I just want to come and pray for you know, goodness and good things to happen, and you're the head and not the tail, and you know, and I'm doing that. But there are times that I attempt, and it's not God. And those people were kind of going, okay, it's not quickening to them. It's not life-giving to them. I'm going, well, I missed that one. It could be me. It could be them. Whatever it is, it didn't happen. There's a real thing that happens when we pray for one another. Why? Because I'm praying the Word of God. I don't think people know that. I don't think people are so well versed in the Scriptures that they're going, when I pray for them, oh, that was the Word of God. Oh, that was, yeah, I recognize that word. I don't think they are. But I think that they feel that thing that's happening inside of them, that quickening life spirit. Because it is the what? It is the sword of the Spirit bringing true life. At that time. Turn to Hebrews 4. Starting with verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter the rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Huh. Fall. I think that is interesting phrasing. For the Word of God is living and active. It's living and active. Those of you who are readers in here, who read other than the Bible, when you read a book, is that book, I mean, it may give you pleasure. It may, oh, that was a good book. I like to read or even listen to, on trips, listen to mystery novels. And I like the suspense. I like every bit of it. I think it's cool. But it's not life-giving. It's not life-changing for me. When I read the Bible, when I read something that is pertinent to my life, it's life-changing. Just like the revelation of, this is a sword of the Spirit. It is not my sword. That was life-changing for me. I will no longer look at this Bible as this Word of God as something that I can wield. It is something that the Spirit of God within me can wield. It's huge. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from the sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Wow. Wow. I only thought prophets could do that. That's not what that says. Discernment comes by the Word of God. Discernment comes when this quickening Jesus in your life comes and brings the Word of God into being. Do we have the Word? Tom, oh my gosh. I've been looking for this scripture. And I'm going... And the way I remember it is God does not withhold His benefits. Okay? And I've looked on my computer at home. I looked on my computer on my phone. I even was looking through that book over there. And I'm going, and Jimmy's making fun of me. Computer's a lot faster. I said, it would be if it was in there. I can't find it. So I said, Tom, where's that scripture? Well, there's a scripture that says this. I went, oh, that one's even better. And we'll talk about it here in a minute. But the reality is, Jesus is a quickening spirit. And in that quickening spirit, He takes all of that Word of God that you have hidden in your heart, and He can bring it up just like that. And so these verses that are hidden in your heart, you're in those all circumstances type situation, and all of a sudden you're like, God, I'm at a loss. Nope, you're not. There's that scripture. Oh, there's that scripture. Oh, there's that scripture. And it's that scripture that divides right there. It discerns what's happening. It discerns the soul and the spirit. You don't know how many counseling sessions that I've been in, and I'm going... A parent called me. Don't go to church here. Maybe long, long time ago. They said, I need to bring in my daughter. Okay. She drew a painting. She was very talented. She drew a painting. She goes, I find it very disturbing. I need help. I need you to look at the painting, and then I need you to talk to her. And I went, okay. And she was divorced, and she was afraid for her child. And so she came in. And so we were starting to talk. The daughter was very well adjusted. She was very, she had a heart for God. I mean, she was doing good. Mother, on the other hand, not so good. And so we said, well, I think your daughter's trying to express herself, and this is kind of an outlet for her, and she's doing all right, and this is nothing to be worried about, it's okay. I said, but you, I think we need to kind of address some things with you. I think you have a lot of fear. I think you have some things that in your heart need to be addressed. Okay? And so we talked to her about her. And at the very end, I said, well, are you okay? Yeah, the mother. Are you okay? Yeah. I talked to the daughter. Yeah, I'm okay. I think you got my mother off my back. I'm good. And she said, and I looked at the mom, and she said, well, this didn't go how I thought it was going to go. And I said, but it did go the way God wanted it to go. So, the Word of God, the quickening Spirit, came and did what it wanted to do. Not what anybody else in that room wanted to do. You know, make my daughter stop doing what they're doing. I don't think that's what God wants to do. Oh. Hmm. Know that this quickening Spirit within you, that the sword of the Spirit is a collective agent. While all of this defensive armor you have on, think of it, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, feet shod with the preparedness of the gospel of peace, all those are defensive. You know, don't you hit me, I'm still going to be okay. But the sword of the Spirit is not only defensive, it's offensive. It's the one that you use to actually go after something that is wrong. Right? This is the thing that you use to take on the enemy. So what is it that you should use this Word of God for? What's going on in your life that's not right? What is it in your life that you don't like that's happening? What is it? Identify that first. Look, I don't think this is the way this should be going. I don't like the way my child is acting. I think there's distance between me and my wife. I think whatever. I don't like the way this is going. Identify it. Then, use the sword. What does God? Now, be prepared, because God may not be saying, well, you're right, honey, and we're going to fix it your way. He may not say that. He may say, I'm teaching you something in that. I'm bringing you to some things in that. It's not until you change your way of thinking that that's going to go away. You're not doing it my way, is what he may tell you. That's some harsh reality. When we are able to conform to his ways, the sword of the Spirit will work. It will work when we conform ourselves to his ways. Because the Word of God does what? Divides soul and spirit, not only on other people, but in ourselves. In ourselves. Jimmy tells a story about me. We're going to change the name of the church to Ecclesia. And I'm going, why? Why are we changing the church name again? I don't want to do that. Why? And they're going, oh, it's going to be great. I'm going, no, it's not. You know, we've been through a few changes. I don't see why we got to do it again. So I'm driving from Fort Stockton here, thinking about it, praying about it, going, so God, why are you doing this? Why are we doing this? And you know what I'm asking God, really? Tell them to stop it. They're not going to listen to me. Tell them to stop it. And God says this. I hear it plainly. He says, I never changed the name of the church. All the names that we had before were wrong. We finally got it right. That's what he's telling me. He's going, that was the name of the church from the beginning. Ecclesia. Okay. What? All right. I will stop resisting. Why? Because at that moment, there was a division of my soul and my spirit. You'll come to those points in life. You'll come to those points where you're going, I want this or I need this. And God will come and say, we're going to divide your soul and your spirit. Now, could I have ignored it? Absolutely. He gave me that choice. But not if I wanted to be a disciple, a learner, and a servant of Christ. So, the spirit of the sword is always in us, with us, and through us, working His power. Working His power. God, do you think you're just walking through life, just going, just another day of work. I'm getting my $2.95 an hour. No. You're working. But you're working with power. And that $2.95 an hour is just your provision. He's going, you got to eat, so I'm going to give you some money to eat with. I'm going to give you a house to live in. I'm going to give you, you know, these things to live. But what's your real purpose? Why did He put you here on earth? To live for Him. That's what you signed up for. To live for Him. He died so that you may live. Why? He died for you so you may live for Him. Right? Right. Okay. What is it that you do? What is it that you want me to do? Well, some of it's easy. Some of it's really easy. The Word of God says don't steal. So, Rick, do you steal? No. You don't go to Porter's and steal a banana. Right? He doesn't do that. Okay. Joseph, do you lie? No. Don't let me down. Well, you see, he didn't lie right then. Okay. Well, let me ask somebody else. Do you lie? Yeah. Some of it's really easy. Okay. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. All right. Don't do it. That's just the logos of the word. Right? Right. Okay? Now, there's the rhema. What is rhema? Rhema is the specific word of God that God has given you. Okay? Given a word for karma. Carmen is supposed to be working at a bridal shop. She is. Not my word, right? I don't work at a bridal shop, or supposed to work at a bridal shop, or ever work at a bridal shop. Okay? I'm not going to dress up brides and sell wedding dresses. That's not me. I'm not going to do it. No. So, that's rhema. There's things that God wants specifically for you. Okay? Pray for those. Pray for God to do some of those things in you that you're looking for. People walk around going, I don't know what the will of God for me is. And I'm going, why? Why is it that you don't know? Well, here's where that scripture comes in. Tom, put up that scripture that you had. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord bestows present grace and favor and glory and honor and splendor and heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Hey, there's a condition there. You got to walk uprightly. But he's saying this. I'm not going to hold back anything that's for your good. Right? Right? But there are people that walk around and go, God hasn't shown me the will of God. I don't think you're listening. Honestly. I don't think you are. I don't think you're trying to find it hard enough. I don't think you're taking the simple time to really pray about it, to really look in the Word about it, and you're not asking. Let me ask someone who's more mature than I am to help me walk through this thing. What is the will of God for me in my life? What is it that you're really talking about? Well, should I really be in the oil field? I don't know. I know this. It's probably just your provision. But what else does God want you to do? Well, I don't know. It could be any number of things. What's your talent? What has God gifted you with? Well, nothing really. I know this, and people, and I don't know why, but they do. They go, well, God wants me to wander around. No, he doesn't. I know God wants you to be established and rooted and grounded in his love, in the body of Christ, to be effective, to be able to help somebody, to be a part of a family, relationship. That's what this is all about. A relationship, a family, one who works together to do what he wants it to look like. He says, and we've talked about it all morning, let it be what? On earth as it is in heaven. What's that supposed to look like? Do you think there's going to be dissension in heaven? You think there's going to be, I don't like that dress you have on. I mean, why do you wear that? You think that's going to be in heaven? No. Huh? Thank God. See, she's probably too fragile. I probably shouldn't have said that. But the reality is, that's not going to be the way it is. Those judgments, those things that happen in churches, that's not going to work. Why? Because we're going to center in on what? The throne. The King of Glory. God. We're going to see Him. And everything else is going to be faded into the background. But the work that He hands us to do. There's going to be work to do in heaven. There really is. You know? You're going to have stuff to take care of. You're going to have the power to do it. You're going to get it done. And you're going to be happy about it. Ooh. What do you mean? I don't like to work. Yeah, you are. You're going to like it. And you're going to say, I'm doing God's business. Ooh. It's good stuff. Man, in 1 Peter 3:13 through 17, basically what it says is we need to be ready. Ready to give an answer in all circumstances, in all situations. How does that happen? To be quickened? To be ready to hide His Word in our heart? In 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, "Be instant in season and out of season." Oh, that means whatever, whenever it comes. Oh, you're called to preach. You're called to go teach a class. I need to be ready whenever I'm called upon. And I'm not feeling the greatest right now. I've got congestion, you know. But if I called this morning and said, "Jimmy, I can't come in today. I'm not going to be able to preach because I don't have a voice." Jimmy should say, "Okay, I'll get Rick up here." You know, be instant in season and out of season. You know? Here's a great scripture. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Isn't that great? His word is a lamp unto my feet. His word allows me to step and know that there are no snakes there. West Texas, that's important. He allows me to know that there aren't any holes where I can twist my ankle. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Such provision He gives us for my life, for your life. When, if you're searching for answers for anything, because there is no circumstance that God doesn't have an answer for. How could that be true? You know when this was written, and you know what time it is now? There's no circumstance that you can be in right now that God doesn't have an answer for. There's the Logos, the written pages, and there is the Rhema, the word that He gives you specifically to live out. And so, does God love you that much? He does. And it's available. So, search Him, and He will be found. Oh, Jimmy, I'm Sharon Huskin.
When Arthur was talking, I was reminded when Caleb graduated high school and we had his ceremony here, I had prayed and prayed, you know, I've taught this kid since he was in the third grade. And now he's graduating. He's going to go off to college. What more do I have to say to him? What do you want me to say to this young man? And I remembered this picture that the Lord gave me. And it was like this huge stack of books from the time he started in pre-K all the way till he graduated high school. And this huge stack of books. And then on this side, there was the Bible. And the word for Caleb was, "You have studied all through these books and gained so much knowledge. And you've read and things that you remember and things that you'll never remember again. Things that you'll use and things that you'll never use again. But out of all of these books, this one, that word, is the only one that will bring you life. The only one." Whether it's when you start at school, you go through high school, you go through college, you continue reading in life, it is the only one that has the ability to give you life. I think of, well, the song that we sang this morning, Jimmy was telling us how when Arthur said it, just something really quickened in him. It just really spoke to him. And then this song came and it was like, wow, you know, that's it. And that happens to us. There are things that people say that don't necessarily come directly out of the Word of God. We can't say, oh, that's in Romans 5:17. But something happens. Oh, that really catches me. There's a quote, I think it's Don Quixote. He who is prepared has his battle half fought. That quickens in me. That speaks to me. But until the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of that in me, it doesn't bring me life. But something started, but it's the Spirit that tells me why it does. It's the Spirit of, if you build it, he will come. Everybody's familiar with that. But boy, it spoke to me. I thought, well, that's interesting. It's not just a fun little quote when the Spirit gets a hold of it. It is until the Spirit of God tells you what he wants you to get from that. You'll hear a lot of things throughout your life. And they'll begin to, oh, that catches me. That there's something about that that speaks to me. But it is the Spirit of the Lord that brings life. The only thing that brings life. The only thing that can bring life is the Spirit of the Lord. So it might just be a nice little quote. It might be a profound statement. Very profound statement. But until God gets a hold of it, it will not bring you life. Think about that. This thing speaks to me. But you have to ask God, what is it he wants you to get from that? All of these bring you knowledge, but there's only one that can give you life.
We could have just gone with that.
Okay.
Wrap that up. Yeah, the Rhema and the Logos. It's easy to slip off into the battering ram mentality with the Logos. Well, I'm in this situation, and this person said this. I'll grab something and hit them with it, you know, and throw it out there and see if it sticks or whatever. You know, and I'm not saying that's the only way it works, but it is the utterance in the moment. And you keep, you know, we say very often, I heard God say. It was not out loud, but it's in here, that utterance. And that's what brings life in the moment, that Rhema word in the moment. And so I've told this story before. When my mom and dad were killed in a car wreck 20 years ago now, I was sponsoring the high school, I don't know what they call it, Bible study group or something. Anyway, Christian kids that wanted to eat lunch together once a week. And I came back after my few days off, and we met for the first time. And I was telling the kids something about, you know, the things they had spoken to me and encouraged me. And I said, you know, all things work for the good of those who love the Lord and are called to his purpose. And this one girl says, I was told never use that scripture when someone has lost somebody like you've lost them or you're in a really hard situation. I said, my God, why not? My God gave me that scripture. And here, and I just thought about that again a few minutes ago. Here's maybe the difference. If you give that scripture to someone that's hurting you, say, well, all things work for the good. Don't do that. But if you say, thank God, all things work for good. Might be hard to see right now, but all things, because God says it does. You see the difference? One is petty and stupid. A way to say the same word of God, the same way, but with a different heart and different utterance. And so, all scripture is useful. All scripture is useful. And it can be misused as well with the wrong heart So